Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 53 for October 23rd, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm also posting the audio-only version of the shows as podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, and wherever else you might listen to podcasts. So just search for Timing Research and subscribe. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And so over the last few days, about 30 people have submitted up to 5 symbols each. And I've put together the top requests, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. So we're going to get through as many of those as we can today. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com. And I developed the show with Dean Jenkins of Follow Me Trades. But he is off this week as moderator. And I have Mike Bassani back. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Hey, thanks, David. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade. What a week. Welcome, Jim. Welcome, Michael. Been an interesting couple weeks here in the markets, to say the least, guys. And here we are. We have another week of Analyze Your Trade. A lot of stock symbols to look at, some interesting ones. And a market that a lot of people thought was about to break this morning and somehow found a way to claw its way back from the precipice yet once again. So why don't we start off with some intros, a little bit about yourself. And Jim, I'll let you go first since you're ready.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Jim Kenny. I provide the content for the Option Professor Learning DVDs. And we've been doing this for decades now. And we do have a website, optionprofessor.com, where you can go on that website and then hook up to the weekly podcast, where we give a weekly update on all the different markets, stocks, bonds, gold, the dollar. And it's free of charge. And so it's a nice way to keep abreast of what I'm seeing. And also, if you have any questions, obviously, people can ask or send me an email on them. So that's what I'm up to.
Thanks, Jim. Michael, welcome. Glad you could make it. You want to tell the viewers a little bit about yourself and what you do? Michael, can you hear me?
Looks right. Like he might be frozen.
Yep. All right. So I'll jump into myself. And then when Michael rejoins us, I'll go from there. My name is Mike Bassani. I have a website called Smart.com. I focus on technical trades and using option flow to tell me when to get in and out and when to go long with the markets or momentum trades. So like today, there was momentum in names like AMD and Apple all day long and Tesla. And these were some things that got us into trades today that made some nice money for people in my service. I do teaching as well. I teach you how to trade options or just trade the overall markets. All my stuff is posted real time on a private Twitter feed. If you're interested, smartoptionstrading.com. Check me out. All right, Jim. So Michael's having technical difficulties. So right now it's just you and me. So,
hey, Mike, could you put up the chart of each day? There you go.
Yep.
And then when I make my comments, people could at least see the chart and see what I'm seeing or at least refer to something. Okay.
You got it. I don't know how I make it purpley visible. Let me see. But yep. And let's start off. It looks like Costco's the first one, Jim. And Costco,
obviously. Yeah, well, I think it is because like many stocks that I've been talking about is they were very far away from their 200-day moving average. So on September 11th, we were at 245. The 200-day moving average on Costco was probably 200. You know, you get 20% or better away from your 200-day average, and I don't care what we're talking about, is a pretty good shot you're going to have a drop, whether it be Amazon or Costco or anything else, Boeing, you name it, okay? And it's
a quick question?
Sure.
You bring that up all the time, and I love it, and I think you're right. What percent, how close do you think you're usually going to get back to it? Do you have a rough target ever in mind with that?
I have not a really rough target, but I know where my line in the sand is, which is around the 200-day average. And I know that the real estate between the two prices are going to close. So when you're way up there at 250, you start sniffing around your put strategies or strategies that would benefit from at least sideways, if not down.
Okay.
So basically, you know, as we all know, we're playing a probability game here. And so what you're trying to do is obviously put on trades or look at things where you think the odds are on your side. And what I'm trying to say basically with the 200-day average is not to be a slave to it, and it's not always going to be right. But in my view, my opinion, the probabilities are extremely favorable to start looking for some type of movement back to the mean, which is what I consider the 200-day. So now we're talking about Costco, and we're talking about a 200-day at 206, and now we're at 228. So, you know, we're getting closer, and I think that's where, you know, people are saying, oh, it's interest rates. Oh, it's the tariffs. Hey, listen, it's always going to be something, but when you're that far overbought, whether it be, like I say, on Amazon, when you hit 2050 and the 200 days at 1500, that's better than $500 above the 200 day. Amazon's obviously a monster, right? But it's coming down. But it's coming down, and it is coming down. So the bottom line here is that, you know, this is a retailer. And again, the big spot for me on the S&P 500 was 2690, which we hit today. And so if we can hold 2690 and some decent news comes out of the G20 meeting with China, or the election is viewed favorably, or the earnings really are very powerful, you know, now that we've got some of the 3Ms and Caterpillar guys out of the way, maybe the next group are going to really knock it out of the park. You know, sentiment, I think the RSI is under 25 on the S&P, and the VIX never made a new high today, even though the market made a new low on the move. These things could all be adding up to be a very good end of the year situation, as long as these things hold up. And if we are going to turn up, I would think Costco is going to be part of it. So my line in the sand on Costco would be 206, and then basically getting above 231, which is the 50-day moving average, would be constructive. So basically, I'm fairly constructive on it, providing we can go another week without making new lows on the S&P. Because I think this thing is basically an S&P type stock. From if the S&P rallies and the consumer feels good, Costco is going to make out fine.
Jim, nice analytics there. For me, do you remember a year and a half ago when Costco dropped hard on Amazon and the Whole Foods market, and it was the death of Costco, right?
Right.
It was over. Look at this thing now, right? How much this thing's come. To your point, it ran a long way. Now, this last drop, this gap down, was from same-store sales, right? They weren't good, the last report. Mm-hmm. To your point, rallied back up, pretty much filled that little gap, failed right there at the 50-day in the gap fill, right? Which usually is what happens when you first get up to those points. And now we're sitting here going, I'm going to say pretty much sideways, because you got to take today's candle with a grain of salt, given how far we gapped down. To me, it held the 100-day, and now the 100-day's moved up. And the chart is still really bullish. This was just a blip at this point. You know, you came back, you're now back above where you broke out from for this last move up here. And I think you're right. If the markets hold in here, this can keep going. You know, it's definitely one of the better retailers to own. If you want to be in retail, to me, this is one of the names you want to be in. It's you know, it's been one that's been strong, and it just continues to act better than the rest, you know, even better than Walmart and Target. This is the one you want to be in.
People want cheap stuff. This place gives you cheap stuff. So obviously that's what people want. That's why they're going to Amazon to get the cheap stuff. So this is basically a brick and mortar place for the cheap stuff. And that's why, you know, it makes a lot of sense.
And if you are going to see a turn down in the economy, if some of these, you know, doom and gloom guys are right, then this should benefit from that as well.
Yeah,
it'll get caught up in it, but it'll be one of the stronger names.
We'll be going for the value. And, you know, we've got even on the XRT, you've had a very big drop here, you know, and it's coming into some support in that 44, 45 area on the XRT. So, you know, a discounting massive monster retailer, you know, if you still believe in the consumer, if you think that we're still on track to have a decent economy, you know, it's not the worst thing to look at.
Let's defer from the list for 1 second. Let's just spend 2 minutes going over the action of the SPY here, because I think maybe that's important before we talk about all the names today. You brought it up a little bit here, and I think you're right, because we are in the middle of some type of corrective action here, right? We haven't hit a full outboard correction. We're still just in a pullback, but we are well below the 200-day here, even after today's nice bounce. And I think you hit it. We had a big spot today, right? I mean, I was watching puts fly into the lows today. You have a lot of shorts now that got trapped in this market this afternoon. And if you notice, the real bounce came around 2 o'clock. You and I have been around this long enough. What happens between 2 and 2:30 every afternoon? Margin calls.
It seems like a lot of margins hit. Yep.
Margin calls. People who shorted into the hole this morning getting in trouble. So what is your thoughts here? For me, we've been weak since we broke the 21-day back in the very beginning of October. We haven't been able to retake them here. But overall, this is not a bad area to try to bounce from. We've danced around. We have a possible double bottom here on the SPY. Ugly, but possible.
I mean, going back a month, if you listen to the podcast, I said basically, you know, when we're up at 2900, 2950 area, you know, that looked very extended to me versus the moving average. And to me, it looked like a situation that could be vulnerable. Once we broke under 2900, I thought basically a game on for the downside. And then, of course, accelerating after we get going certainly can occur. Where I came up with 2690, if you go back, I keep the I keep very good track of the numbers, high, low, and close every month. And if you notice, the June and July lows were right around the 2690 area. So that's where I came up with that. I didn't think we were going to take out the June, July lows. And so far, we haven't. Now, having said that, and of course, the VIX, I say, you know, it hit 25 today, way underneath where the VIX was when we made the former low. So I don't know that that's so bad. And then I heard the RSI is under 25, which again, it's getting into the low zone.
We closed at 32.
It did, but was it lower?
Obviously, at one point today was lower when the market was selling off.
That's right. So it hit the 25 under an area. Anyway, here's the thing is, you know, if you're looking for more of a, is there going to be a year-end rally? I would say you wait till the end of next week and see if we do not take out this week's low and preferably don't take out 26.90. If you get that price evidence, now you have a good line in the sand to defend at 26.90, today's low, if we don't take it out, right? And then, of course, it'll have a week of seasoning where it held the low. And I think then at least you could come in there and say, you know what, if I want to place a bet, now I've got a low that has been established with higher lows around it on a weekly chart. And I've got a situation where there's been some emergences and it could make some sense that the news may change because right now the news is leaning way the other way, almost like it was at 29.50. So I would be, again, if you are hopeful of a year-end rally and that we will get on the bicycle going into the end of the year, I think we have to be somewhere near the low here. And if we're not, then the Russell and the transport, which led us up and now have let us down. Of course, those were two good signals that the 29.50 wasn't going to hold because the transports and the Russell rolled over way before the S&P. And so that was a good signal on the way down, was a good signal on the way up because it made its highs before the S&P as well. So let's see if we can stabilize the transports and the Russell, and we have not done that. And let's see if we can go through the end of next week and not take out this week's low. And then maybe you could put on your bullish cap at that point.
I'm going to make it even simpler. I love what you had to say, Michael. We're going to let you kick a shot here in a second. I see you're back. Welcome. For me, there's two big lines you can draw here. One at 270 and one at 280. These are two very important zones of control for this market right now. As long as you continue to close above 270, you maintain the ability to try to bounce up. Above 280, you really start to get the shorts to start squeezing, especially once you get above 282, right? So you got to retake back the 200-day, get back above the 8-day moving average, which is coming down hard. And you get it back above 280, you start that big short squeeze. Because these shorts, by the way, for the last week and a half, I have not seen them this comfortable in a market in a long, long time. They're just sitting in it. They could care less at this point what's going on. And until you start getting above 280, I don't think you're going to be able to shake them out and get a real short squeeze going. So as long as you can stay above 270, I don't care if you bounce around down here for the next couple of sessions. You know, you got the midterms coming up. China, if China can stabilize, that would be big. And we saw some big calls, bullish bets on some China names today in the option markets. I think that would help this market maybe get it rallying. Michael, you want to have anything you want to say on the SPY? Welcome. You want to tell us a little about yourself while you're here? You frozen again?
Yeah, I think he's frozen again.
All right. Jim, it's going to be the you and me show today, my friend. Let's have fun.
Yeah.
All right. Next ticker up is PBR. Let me pull it up. And if you want to start on it, go ahead.
Okay. Just real quick. I was also focusing in on the China stocks last week because I did think some of the stocks such as Alibaba and Baidu had possibly put in some type of a low. And even despite the movement down here today, I believe they're still holding on to their lows, barely.
They are.
So keep an eye on it because these are heavily discounted stocks. So, you know, if they get any kind of an agreement in the G20 meeting a month from now, there's value down here. If they want to go full-blown trade war, then obviously all bets are off the table at that point.
For me, China names for now remain a day trade, a scalp, right? Get in, get out, take your profits, be careful. They lit up the 150 weekly calls in Alibaba today. 6,000 of them traded early this morning. That's a lot for weeklies in that name. And you can see it had a strong reaction, pushed up all the way to 147.50. It was trading around 144 when they started coming in. So you're right. They're trying to get going. These names are at a heavily discount, but they're going to need the right news to really take advantage of that. I don't even think earnings is going to matter in the end of the day at this point.
No, they need to hear something positive out of the G20 thing. And if they do, I think then you're going to be in good shape. This PBR is obviously a Brazilian energy concern. And of course, they supposedly have a very powerful nationalist down there going to be elected, they think. And so that's why people have been going into Brazil feeling better about it. You know, this stock has a very strong support in the $10 area, and it has been on the rise. You know, again, you could get a very nice wave of positive vibe. The ETF on Brazil has been doing fairly well in the last 6 months. So, you know, it does have some tailwind to it. The moving averages are right around 12, 12 and a half. So you've got, you know, support down there, 12, 12 and a half. And again, really looks like strong support at 10. And, you know, could there be upside potential? Well, you know, like I say, it's at 1573 and the yearly high is 1720. So, you know, with one little more push, it could get going. The price of oil has been under some pressure. So obviously that's going to be a little bit of a headwind until they resolve the
and the API numbers for tonight are in. Crude had a 9.8 million barrel build. That
That's going to be, that might allow you to get a pullback towards 12 though.
Yeah.
You know, and if you get a pullback towards 12 or 10, you know, maybe this thing isn't such a bad bargain at that point. But yeah, like I say, the build last time and the build you're mentioning, plus the fact that obviously the West Texas got hit, you know, obviously has put a cap on this thing, and it may even give you a correction. But I think technically, with the moving averages under the market and apparently rising, maybe a dip is an opportunity to pick up some of this stuff using a get out point under 10.
You know, this has been one of the if you look at the call buying of this name, they've been buying this from the bottom every little dip, right? Nonstop. I mean, they keep buying this thing in the money, out of the money, short time, long time on this thing, every chance they get. To your point, it's run huge, right? If you look at that lows from back around $9, it's sitting up here at right around, you know, hit 16 briefly. It could use at least a rest, Jim, if you can't get a pullback, right?
Even no doubt.
Sideways
no doubt.
Action would make it up.
But I think if we had a conversation a year from now, it might be higher.
Yeah, I do too. I think, you know, this is a pent up name. And I think there's another thing you have to see is what's going to happen with Saudi Arabia with everything going on over there right now. You know, oil could become constrained depending upon the sanctions that may or may not hit that country after everything that's happened here. Hopefully it doesn't, because that wouldn't be good for anybody and probably be not good for the economy. But, you know, again, if you got to dip down towards that, if at least the 21 day, maybe fill that little gap that's open down here to, let's call it 1425, I think you could be looking at a nice long off of that if you can get it. 200 day would be a gift. I don't think that comes easy.
Yeah, no, I think it would be too. If you got down there, it might be a reason why it's going to blow through 10.
Yeah.
You don't want to get too good of a price. Huh?
No, exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, that's funny, right? We all say buy this, buy the dip. But when the dip comes, how many people can pull that trigger?
Well, you know, we do, when we went through the 200 days on all these indexes, people might have thought they were getting quite the bargain. And they found out that, you know, just because it's near the 200 day doesn't mean it's a bargain. In fact, if it goes to the 200 day, it's probably going through it.
Yep. Michael, you make it in?
No.
All right. eBay is our next one, Jim.
Okay. Let me just check it out real quick. I haven't been really following it because I don't have anything to sell on eBay. I guess I'm not following it close enough, but it does look like it's obviously in the fade mode. I'm not an expert at this, so I'm just going to give you what they call a rookie outside looking in. There must be other ways to merchandise online or to sell things much different than they were. And so obviously the popularity of this may not be anywhere near what it was.
Well,
and
Amazon.
That could be. Okay, so there you go. And so obviously you don't want to use yesterday's newspaper and try to stay ahead of the game. And this could be basically yesterday's newspaper. Let's see what it looks like technically real quick. Big shares today. Almost 12 million shares. Is that big volume? Let's go find out.
Yeah.
12 million shares. No, it's around a little bit higher than normal.
Yeah,
about 20% higher than normal, but not off the charts. No. And again, it's
oversold,
down to the 200.
Big time.
Yeah, like I say, it's down to the 200 day average. So if you are somebody who likes to, you know, stand in front of things or pick up things that are at a discount, you are, you know, standing in front of some very big momentum to the downside. You are buying into something where the moving averages are quite down, but the 200 day is up at 38.
Yeah.
So now you're about 25% underneath the 200 day. So based on the theory that, you know, it might gravitate back up, the low occurred today, I guess, 2761. So if you got a day or two where it could hold the low and you were a speculator looking to just see a bounce, you know, maybe there is something down here, you know, using that low that we made today or something. But it seems to me like a kind of a guess. Yeah, it's not something that would intrigue me too much, but it wouldn't shock me if it had a $5 rally. It wouldn't shock me at all.
You know, Michael, you good to go now? Said you were here. No. What I don't like about this today, Jim, and it's down, RSI is oversold, and it's out of the Bollinger Band now for three sessions and continue moving down, right? That mm-hmm. is some nasty momentum to the downside.
Well, yeah.
Very extended off the 8-day, right? The 8-day moving average is still up at 30.11. I mean, this thing's well off of it here. I do think it could use some a dead cat bounce of some type here, right. But there's going to be better names, in my opinion, to play than this. I really do. I mean, there was big call buying back on this day here. What date was that? That was on the 9th of October. There was a rumor that Icon was getting back in, establishing a stake. It turned out to be that the activist was getting involved in Starbucks. That's why you got that big topping candle on it that day. And that should have been your sign to get out, right? When you have a rumor like that and big flow and it starts selling off late in the day when something else comes out, there's a problem. Then you got your downside follow through the next day. And since then, it's ugly. And really, if you look at the 50-day has been in control of this thing forever, right?
Oh, yeah.
Moving averages are not necessarily resistance. They can be, but they show you where momentum is. And boy, this thing can barely break above the 50-day. And it, you know, since it broke it the last time back here in June, every time it touches it, it sells back off.
Is there an earnings announcement coming up?
Of course there is. It's got to be coming up soon.
So when that, you know, if there is something they're going to announce that's going to be very bad, it looks like they're discounting it in advance.
But to me, there's got to be better names to play.
Oh, yeah. This is catching a falling knife. This is the poster child of catching a falling knife.
Yeah. So for me. What's next? LB Brands.
Yeah, there's another one. Well, everyone's on the defensive, I guess, but this is really on the defensive. 63 is a 52-week high, and now you're at 29. So I don't think that's even testing the 200-day. I think it is exploded on the 200-day. Let's just see what it looks like here. Yeah, short interest, 7.39. It's in clothing. So, you know, obviously, it's probably not selling clothing that's very cheap for anybody. But the point is that it is
Secrets.
Really – is that what it is?
Yep, Victoria's Secret.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, maybe it could get a bounce because of the holiday season, but again, it is another catching a falling knife. If you were going to try to play for the bounce, you know, you got your line in the sand on September 5th when they made the low at around 25.90, and it's yielding 8.12. I'd have to believe that dividend's got to be at risk, but 8.12 would be a pretty darn good yield, that's for sure. And the volume has been kind of big in the last 50 days, about 6 million versus around 5 million. So it's about a 20% increase in the volume during the last 50 days. So again, you know, if you were a riverboat gambler, you could take a shot down here and put a stop under 25 and see if Christmas bails you out. That would be, and maybe get some of this 7.39% short interest to cover. But again, kind of a crapshoot.
For me, I look at this chart and forget the fact that you had this precipitous fall, right, from the highs. It has three open gaps that it has not even tried to fill, right? You got your first gap down off the highs. You barely touched the gap and pulled. You had another gap down. You touched it and pulled. You have another gap down back here. You know, you never even tried to touch that one. You even have another one that it just filled. So maybe getting a little bit of a bottom here for the first time. But for me, in this space, and they were the darling for years, right? LB Brands, Victoria's Secret could do no wrong. Now they have so much competition going on out there. For me, I would want to see a good earnings call before I got long this stock, unless I was a real gambler. I'd want to see a change in character of this chart where we don't have a gap down after earnings and something we're trying to fill. So, you know, for me, unless there was big flow and they were trying to run all retail was strong, I would probably avoid this name for now. Michael, I see you coming in and out. Can you hear us at this point? Or are you still having issues?
He's still having problems. Okay. I've been working with Skype to try to get him connected, but I don't think he's going to be able to make it on for this show.
Not a problem. We'll take care of it. Sorry about that. So, Jim, for me, this is a no trade. I wouldn't touch this here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crapshoot. So, you know, like I say, I wouldn't do it unless I was, you know, just absolutely just gambling. Yeah.
Yeah. And like I say,
it's another brand also that seems to be what, you know, yesterday's story, like you were saying.
Well, there's just everything's changed. That, you know, everything changes. You either change with it in retail or you get left behind.
It looks a little like the eBay chart, actually, right?
Yeah. PJT, I have to admit, I don't know anything about this company. PJT Partners.
Well, their investment advisor. advisors, and I don't care if your name is Franklin Advisors or T. Rowe Price or BlackRock, you're getting whacked this year. For whatever reason, it's not working out so good for the investor guys. So anyway, these guys have been in the down move since 60. When it was at 60, this 200-day average, which probably at 50, so there you got about 20% above the average, came back to the average and went through it like a knife through butter. Volume doesn't seem to be increasing during the drop, so I guess that's a positive. And there is some former highs from 2017 that come in just under 45, where we are right now. So this could be a neighborhood where it could possibly stabilize. This company is losing money, though. Their earnings per share in the last 52 weeks is showing minus $1.28. So again, seems like a lot of these stocks we're being shown are definitely in the descending mode. And again, moving averages up at 53 and 52. So, you know, you've got some resistance on the moving averages. Again, if you wanted to use some reason why it might bounce out of here, I think it might bounce out of the early lows from January and also the late highs from 17 in the 40 to 45 area. So this could be a neighborhood where it could stabilize, but again, it's a basically same idea, catch a falling knife.
It's, you know, there's a lot, you know, and that's the problem. When you have a market correction like this, and, you know, the one thing about this market is this didn't start 2 weeks ago. You and I were on this show a couple of times. We've been talking about the rot that was taking place under the indexes since the beginning of September, end of August, right? There were a couple of anointed names like Square and Amazon and that they were running in AMD, right? But under the covers, most of the names were already getting corrected. And so it's not a surprise to see these charts starting to look like this. This one, you know, right in that time period started selling off, right? Before the indexes actually capitulated. I just think there's better names to play than stuff like this. And I hate saying that to people because I know you guys want to look at this, but you're right. 42 is an area of interest, right? This 42 area, maybe a little above it. You got some support in this area. Your RSI is oversold. It's been oversold for a while now after other than a short bounce. But really, it can't even get to the 21-day. And that's something that says volumes to me. Since we lost this at the end of August, it hasn't even touched it, right? It can't even touch it. That's Nick. And to your point, you know, the 200-day, usually you get a bounce off the 200-day the first time you touch it, right? People have, you know, institutions have buy programs set up there to defend it. This thing didn't even stop. It didn't even care that it hit the 200-day.
And the sector, the other investment advisory type firms, you know, there's not, these guys don't look like the one-eyed man in the Valley of the Blind. They look like part of the blind.
Yeah. You know, so again, I just think there's other areas to play, but if you like it, this is an area to try it. And if it doesn't work down here, I think you're starting to look towards 39 in that 40 area. That would be your next area, maybe even down to 27. But personally, I believe better names to play, especially in a market like this. All right, Cliff. That's a name I haven't traded in about 9 months.
Cliff? Oh.
TLF.
You skipped over the other.
Did I?
Okay. Yeah, the life, you know, the entertainment company that does
LYV.
Yeah, LYV. They do the entertainment.
Apologies. Let's do it. I crossed it out by accident. I was going through it.
Yeah. Anyway, this is obviously recreational services. They call the industry group, and you know, basically they do concerts and stuff like that. Today it caught a little bit of a bid because it went down to 50.64, and it did bounce a little bit afterwards, but it did close underneath the open, so I wouldn't get a party hat on it right now. It still got a 200-day average at 46, so the 200-day is rising and comes in around 46, which coincidentally is the high points from early in January and kind of late last year. So you've got some former highs that could give you some support, and you've got the 200-day that could give you some support. And obviously, the consumer going out and spending money is helpful to this company. So I would say that it doesn't look that bad. And, you know, in the universe of stocks out there, it certainly has not been tagged like anything else. So the underlying stock seems to be fairly stable. And 46, 46 and a half, where the 200-day is not a bad line in the sand to use.
I mean, I would look at this and say you got a pretty big box here, right? You could put your box and draw it up from 55 and draw it down to 40, you know, let's call it 49 here, where, you know, when it came in, even call it, you know, 49. You got a box. You know, it's trading within this range right now for pretty much the last 4 months. And until it breaks either way, you just you can take trades within it, right? Take it off the lows, try for a bounce off of that for the highs. There was some rumor, these 3 days with the big volume that came in back here in September, there was a rumor on, I don't remember what it was anymore, but there was a big rumor on it. Maybe it was an activist or a buyout. I think it was an activist getting involved in it and had a nice move. And this is actually, to your point, this name looks a hell of a lot better than a lot of the other charts we've been looking at out there today.
I mean, it looks like a hold. It looks like a hold, you know?
Yeah. It looks like a hold. It looks like something that if the markets were strengthened up, and I wouldn't be afraid to try it. Now, the only thing I will say with any name we're talking about today, you have to know when earnings are coming and define your risk, right? Yeah. Do you want to be involved in a name into earnings? That's your decision.
Right.
Cliff, CLF.
This is the one where the CEO went a little nutty on the conference call, wasn't it?
Wasn't that Cat?
Oh, no, this was the other day. I think this is the story. He got on there and he said, you people that are shorting the stock, you know.
Well, sounds like Elon Musk.
Yeah, right. No, seriously, this guy really went off the rails. I mean, he was saying, you're going to people are going to die, or you should die. I mean, the guy was really going nuts. So anyway, that wasn't really bullish for the stock. And the stock's definitely on the defensive right now. And, like I say, the CEO had a conference call that just was as bizarre as anyone I've heard in decades. So anyway, a lot of people are short the stock. 15% of the people are short the stock, and he doesn't like people pressing his stock. And so he said he was going to come up with a plan for buying back his own stock, which caused a lot of people getting nervous. The bottom line is it's had a very big run. The 52-week low on it is $5.60, and it ran all the way up to 13. So that's almost a tripling, which is an awfully big move in a year. And now it's pulling back. So would I be negative on this stock? No, but I'd probably look elsewhere simply because the CEO sounds like he's a crazy guy. But the 200 days at about $8, $9. And so there's a good line in the sand. Doesn't look like it should ever get underneath that if it's going to stay bullish. And the 200 days at 11.22. Volume seems to be getting a little skinnier right now. So again, this is iron and steel, which supposedly is on the rebound. And that's probably why we've seen such a big move in it. But with the unnerving conference call, I'd be a little careful. But if I had to be in there, I'd stay long as it stayed above about $9.
To your point, it tripled in this past year. And, this is where people get greedy sometimes, right? When they start seeing these names, they're like, oh, they're going to keep going. Things need a rest. And at this point, this is nothing more than a rest. Yes, we lost the previous breakout high. But, we're still, not that far off the top. And if you were to tell me, it's holding the 100 days so far, right, at 1023. And I think it has decent support at 950. If it got to 950, I would be willing to give this a shot. RSI would be oversold if we got down there. Another reason to maybe give it a shot down there. And if you like the space, I think this is a great spot for a long-term hold. But to your point, I remember hearing something briefly about it. I didn't realize it was Cliff. You never want your CEO mouthing off and saying all sorts of stuff out there. It's never good for your stock. Especially when
it's
the SEC gets involved.
When you don't know their name is the best thing, right?
All right. Why don't we take a quick break from charts here? And are there any names you're watching out here right now that you'd like to tell the viewers about or you have on your radar for the next week or 2 weeks?
Well, I'm really, really looking at Alibaba. Again, I thought last week when they made the low, it could be a significant low. Now, like I say, today I was a little surprised to come in and see that their index was off 2 or 3%. And if I come in tomorrow and find out it's down 3 or 5%, then looking at Baba was a bad idea. But the point is that it is down significantly in price. And I think if things would just lean the other way at all, this would be one of the leading names that people might jump into. The 52-week high is 211, and it's been as low as 135. And today it's at 146. So if we can hold this 135, 52-week low, and if it can get above 150, I think that would be a very key level to get above, then there could be some potential. And this is a high beta stock when it gets moving. So it's not a bad one to keep an eye on. But again, above 150 would be a very constructive thing. And certainly not taking out the 135 would be very constructive. And let's see what happens overnight with all the volatility we saw and all the volatility Europe got, as well as China and Asia. Let's see how overnight works, and we'll have a better idea tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think all the China names are screaming buys at some point soon, right? It's just a matter of when that happens. For me, I'm going to give you a short-term trade, and I want to talk about Apple. And Apple's had a big move, and Jim, you would probably say it's still too far off the 200-day, but this thing is in a box, and it's been acting extremely well through this corrective cycle in the markets. And look at that candle today. You do not get many bullish engulfing candles like you get today, got out there today. It took back this whole range. And if this market has any strength, this is one of the few names they want to be in, at least until earnings, which are next week, right? Earnings are on the 31st. I'm not advising this as a long-term trade. I'm talking about a trade a couple days, a week, a day. It breaks through this area and it can run quickly back to the all-time highs here. It doesn't have a lot of resistance once it gets through. They've been buying the weekly 220, 220, 250, 225s, even 230 calls. Same strikes for next week. You got two things going on next week. First, you have their hardware event on the 30th, and then you have earnings on the 31st. I would not be involved into either one of them, just telling you that. But if you're looking for a strong name to trade tomorrow in the next couple of days, this is one of the ones you should have your eye on. It. They buy every dip and they aggressively run it back up. Again, has to clear, let's call it 223, right? Because right now this 222, 73, 75 area resistance, it clears that and this thing could be off for the races with a $4 or $5 move in a day. Something different. I'm not looking, I think you're looking more long-term. I'm looking for something people can trade for the next couple of days or keep an eye on for a quick trade to put some money in their pockets.
Well, I think four of them right off the bat would be if you're looking for a turn here, Microsoft, Apple, Google, and Amazon. You know, if they ever break these four stocks, you can forget about any bull market. I think the whole board would come down because if you look at every ETF that has to do with the S&P, these four babies are at the top of the list. Yep. So they haven't broken these stocks yet. They're all above their 200-day, I believe, and they all still look like they're just having corrections. So again, this idea of a year-end rally is not off the table. But if they crack these things and we take out 2690, you can stick a fork in the market as far as I can see, as far as any kind of a year-end rally.
Google's under its 200-day.
Oh, it is, but barely?
No, it's been under it for 12 sessions now. It's at 11.37. It's trading around 11.14.
Okay. But do you know how long it takes Google to get $20 if a good report comes?
Half a day, if it wants it.
There you go.
Overnight gap up.
And that's happening Thursday, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I think their earnings come out Thursday. So the bottom line is these four, though, if you were going to be looking for a rebound rally, I would imagine these four would be a part of it.
It was that, and I'll even throw Netflix in there, Jim, and then we'll get back to our stuff. Another day today, Netflix below its 200-day, big gap down. Look at that bullish engulfing candle today, back above the 200-day, engulfing range of the previous day's candle. Tougher trade, did not have a good reaction to the earnings, right? But, you know, if you're looking, the market's going to go. They're going to come back. They're not going to let this thing go. They're trying to keep it at the 200-day. Again, we're looking for ideas, right? We're looking to make money. So yeah. These are some names, like you said, I keep an eye on it. We have Amazon and Google on Thursday. And next week, we have Apple and Microsoft. Plus, we have the chip makers this week, AMD and Intel. And then we have Twitter and Snap, Boeing tomorrow. So many good earnings ahead. So much fun.
Yeah, I mean, I would be imagining that the markets could react better than they did to 3M and Caterpillar.
Yeah, that was not pretty. Although Cat did see some nice call buying into the lows this morning. All right, next up, Alcoa. AA. Man, remember when this stock used to matter?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, anything that says materials on it has been a bad deal lately. So again, here you go. You had a move up to 60, 62, and now we're half price almost. So you know it's getting down here pretty good. Today it got hit pretty well, down about almost 5.5%. So you know, obviously we're in a downtrend here, and there's no real sign of reversing. Let's see how the averages come in. They come in at 41 and 46. So you know, like I say, there's not much to hope for except that this $30 area was the low. Last year, and now we're somewhat near it now. Again, a very pronounced downtrend, I wouldn't say I can see much here at all, you know, other than a potential dead cat bounce towards 41 or 46.
You know, what a difference a year makes. A year ago, I was trading the steel stocks and aluminum and stuff constantly, right?
Yeah.
I think I've touched the stock a couple times this year, but I don't see the compelling setup. What's the news that's going to drive this? More tariffs? I mean, that really hasn't, despite all the tariffs we've thrown on, it really hasn't helped it.
Yeah, I think it got a big bid because everyone was talking about how steel's coming back, how steel's coming back, how steel's coming back. Everybody bought into it like the banks.
Yeah.
And then after they bought into it in the beginning of the year, there's just been a deterioration the whole year along.
So, you know, to your point, you know, it doesn't look pretty. Maybe it holds this 35 areas, it comes back down. I don't know. did a nice job of filling a lot of this gap today. Didn't quite finish it. Has a little bit more to go if it wants it. That was probably its earnings bat from last week. It just doesn't seem to be able to get going here. To me, this needs a catalyst at this point. If earnings couldn't drive it and none of the news is out there, what's the catalyst to get it going here? And I just don't see it. I hate to say it, but a lot of these names are on my avoid list right now. These are just not names that I'm looking at for a bounce. I don't see the catalyst there. How about SYMC? This name was catching some major flow and was flying high for a little while not too long ago.
Yeah, again, software and semiconductors and all the rest of them, they're all having a rough time of it. And this obviously is pretty much in line. So again, you've been deteriorating ever since it hit 35, and it's been now it's, getting down to be about a 50% drop almost. And the moving averages are 20 and 23. And the volume is kind of a little bit dead right now. There's not much short interest in there. So it's a lousy sector right now, and it's a lousy looking stock. On the positive side, it does seem to be going sideways here for the last 6 months or so, right around plus or minus a couple of bucks off 20. So if it were to get above 23.5 and get some momentum, I'd probably want to get into it because the momentum might be turning and you could get a nice bounce towards 25, where there's a lot of resistance, I would imagine. So a move above 23, looking for 25, might work, or even maybe even lower than that, maybe something like 22, and see if you can go to 25 might be a possibility. But again, looks pretty dead to me.
All right, this is a security name too, right? Symantec, big security name. Facebook's rumored out to be out there trying to buy a large security firm, but I don't think this one was named. What I look at this name is, here is, to your point, security has become interesting. Security was hot for a couple of years, and now nobody wants anything to do with it. That said, if they have a good earnings and it wakes up, you have a large gap to be filled here, right? You have this big gap called, starts around 2250 area, and it runs all the way up. You can bring it all the way up to 2850. So, I think you have to watch earnings on this name. And if earnings are good and it holds in, your first stop is probably, once you get going, will be the gap at 2250 and then the 200 day at 2325. And then, or wherever that sets up at that time, which is curling down. But then you get into that gap, boy, this thing can move, right? There's just not going to be anything there at that point to keep it in. Big hole, long-term hole in the chart. So I would keep this name on my radar. See how earnings are. We got FireEyes this week, and then Pawn is coming up, Palo Alto Networks. Juniper was tonight. I didn't see how that did. So I would just keep an eye on this space, because if the space in the sector starts to go, there might be a trade to be had in this one as well. Needs to get back above the moving averages though, right? Even today, needs to clear some of these, at least take back this 2050 area. VTR.
Yeah, this is Veritas. And what industry group would you categorize this one in? Do you know?
I thought they were healthcare.
Okay, because they're
not a health provider. They provide software and services to healthcare plans.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
I actually worked for them at one point, or briefly.
Technically, it doesn't look too bad, because it popped from 50 to 60, which is nice. And then it came down here towards 54, which is a nice little correction. And now if it can take out 60, it might really be going someplace. And that's probably what I'd be waiting for, to see if it could take out 60, and then you could obviously view it for a longer term basis, because all the lows that occurred in 2017 was around 60. And then when it broke 60, that's when it went down to 50. Now it's rallied back up to 60. So technically it's coming off resistance. And, again, it's got to hold this correction at 54 area. That's the 200 day. So there's no coincidence why it bounced off of there.
Quick riff up to you. It's not Veritas, it's Venitas. These guys are in...
Ventas. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're in real estate. They do a lot with nursing homes and facilities, but it's not Veritas. That's my mistake.
Today there was a bid on the real estate stocks, I was told. So basically, yep. I think that's probably one of the reasons this is up. But again, just looking at it technically, it broke down at 60, and that breakdown was breaking underneath some pretty good support. So now we've snapped back to 60, and now it's been on the defensive down here at 54. Again, it came down to test the 200-day. If it goes through the 200-day and then 50, this thing's got long-term problems. And if it can hold this area and take out 60, then again, it had the ability to get above all the resistance that it broke, which would be very bullish in my view. And then I would just ride the 200 day up as long as it would take me.
It's really a REIT. So for me, if interest rates keep going up, the bloom is off of REITs, right?
Right.
They've been a safe haven here. If rates keep rising, this is not where you're going to want to have your money. Better off putting it in, into yield. But I think you nailed it. From a technical perspective, look at how it's held that 200-day, right? I mean, it's basically played on it a couple times and still holding it down here, trying to get going. Needs to get some of this back. This is not a name that'll pick up much in the way of call buying. I think it saw a little bit here and there, but not a name that picks up a lot of call buying on it. So You know, volume's good. To me, to get momentum back, it needs to clear this 56 area. You got to close over 56. Maybe it gets some momentum back and it can start running and try to get back up to 59. But I think overall, with mortgage rates going up and interest rates going up, that this is not a great time to possibly be in long-term into REITs at this point as an investment.
And 570 is less of a yield than you get on AT&T. And just a little bit more than you get on Verizon.
Yep.
And both AT&T and Verizon look more interesting to me than a REIT.
I agree. So PayPal is next. And boy, what a move this had today. And what nice earnings. Finally had good earnings in this name. And this is, you know, even in a bad market, it shows you that this market still wants to own names that have good guidance and are doing the right thing.
Yeah. And obviously, this is, you know, the new kid in town on a relative basis to Visa and MasterCard. And obviously, they're chewing away a little bit at the market share, or they're setting up a different way to do things that are more, shall we say, comfortable to the people who like to pay on their phone and do all that kind of stuff. And basically, these guys, you know, are and Square, you know, these seem to be the guys that are going to chew into Visa and MasterCard's stronghold on payments, among other things. And so from that standpoint, it's very interesting. And obviously, it went down to 75 and came off of that very well. And on a day like today, where you, well, it had a volatile day, it went down to 82, 83, and then came back. But clearly, this is a name that people will go into, it looks like, if this is just a correction and we're going to have a big year-end rally. This looks like one of the names that you'd want to maybe be exposed to.
Yeah.
Just want to just say here real quick here. Yeah, you have the 200-day at 82 and change, so no coincidence why we bounced off of that today. And the 50-day was at 86.80, and we closed above the 50-day. So, you know, technically, PayPal showed its mettle today.
You got to love names that, you know, they make a nice earnings gap here, right? They don't violate it. They hold it. And then they power through and you get a big engulfing candle like today. Now you're back above all the moving averages. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you see that, that's a change in character for a stock. And this is things people have to recognize. I mean, some of the other names we're talking about saying, I want to see a change in character. To me, this is a change in character. This stock hasn't acted like this in a while. So now you have a change in character. You have a big open gap below here that it has not violated. And it's well above it now. And saying to you, I think to your point, if this market's going to be any good, this is one of the names they're going to want moving forward. It's in a great space. I still love Square, but I wouldn't be afraid to come back and take some PayPal here. I've actually done well with this trading this multiple times this year. And I'll be honest with you, I missed it today. My eye wasn't on it, unfortunately, because of where the market was. I was trading other things. But, you know, here, maybe could use a couple of days of rest here to let the 8-day catch up a little bit. It's a little extended off of it. A couple of inside days where it trades in the upper third of this candle would be just fine. And then, you know, market holds in. I think you see a move up through 90, and then you're not far from all-time highs, and you see where you go from there. I like this name. I like the space. I thought this correction was overdone when it was going on. And but the one thing we know I talk about is that, you know, names have to come in. Names can't just sit up there forever. And until they bang some of the high flyers down, you don't have, you know, the corrections can't end. And we finally started seeing that, and this is a great example of it. I like this name going forward here. I would be looking to find ways to be long, and as long as the market doesn't sell off further than it has.
Yeah, if it starts taking out 80 and the market starts selling off with a 50-to-1 PE, this would be very vulnerable to the downside, because if they think the consumer is going to get panicky and pull his pocketbook away, then you're going to be looking at a situation where, you know, this would be a vulnerable stock with a high PE and a consumer that contracts. No evidence of that yet, but that might be where a protective put might not come in, might come in handy.
Yeah, I agree. We're running low on time. Let's try to get a couple more in before we give our little closing speeches. How about Disney, Jim? Just talk about a name that has not cared what the market's doing for the last month.
Yeah, again, Disney basically, I guess, is being viewed as somebody who's trying to get into Netflix's business a little bit, right?
And well, they are. I mean,
that's what I'm trying to say. So, I mean, you
know, they own 60% of Hulu now.
Right.
And since they didn't buy Sky, they're going to go buy the other 40%.
Right. So they, you know, they're making their positions for the future, and obviously people are impressed because this thing was stuck around $100 for a very long time, and then it was stuck around 110 for a little bit, but it was really stuck around that 110, 100 area, and then once it broke above 110 here, we've gone up up towards 120 pretty fast. You know, this is a company that's making money. This is a company that a P/E ratio is 14.
You're talking about a company out the wazoo,
and they got content. And again, it's above 110. So you know where your line in the sand is. You don't want this thing breaking back above underneath 107, which is the 200-day. So you got a nice thing there at 107 to guide you higher if it can do it. And again, if the board is going to go, you'd imagine this would be one of the players in a rising market as we go into the end of the year. If we start going underneath 107, it's probably an indication that the whole board's probably rolling over. So, you know, obviously one of the leaders. Again, the valuation certainly looks very reasonable, and their profits are very strong, and you know, they've been around forever. So, like I say, this is getting above 110 was a big hurdle, and it seems to be holding ground above 110, which is very positive.
For me, I mean, I remember I did a webinar last week, 2 weeks ago, and I said, if you like Disney at 117 when it was breaking out the first time here and a bunch of people wanted it, I said, you got to love it down here at 110 again. Right? There it is.
Right.
You know, today was the first day it got caught up in the weakness, but it came right back. You do have earnings coming. I love what they're doing with Hulu. Comcast owns the other 30%. Guess what? Comcast needs cash desperately now. So they're going to be willing to sell that to Disney. The other 10% is owned by Time Warner. They won't have a problem giving up, or Disney will just let them keep it and they'll just deal with it. They have their deal with Netflix expires at the end of next year. They have all their TV stuff. They have all their movies between Marvel and Fox and their mm-hmm. Disney movies. And, you know, pick the franchise. They have so many of them out there. They are now set now to become a big leader and challenger to Netflix in this space. Oh, and their streaming service, ESPN, had huge numbers after they just released it, about a month ago, which took everybody by surprise. So you have to get through earnings. So earnings is the only question mark. And to me, earnings are always a question mark. But I do think long term, this is one of the names to own. If you want to play in the entertainment space and the media space, this is the one that seems to be primed to move forward. And it's not just that. They also have the amusement parks. They have lots of different sources of revenue. Gotta love it. Where are we at? We got 5 minutes left. Why don't we do one more and then we'll talk about ourselves. Everybody's... You know, we've talked about the semis a lot. Why don't we talk about GDX? Because to me, yeah, I've been talking about this for a while, and this is an interesting change here. Yeah.
Again, on my podcast, I've been talking about this for the last month. And the reason for that is my feeling is that 1100 ballpark area on the price of gold looked like it could be a tradable area, 1060, 1080, a very nice tradable area, and it has been. And then again, what are we doing here? We're hiking interest rates. Why would you hike interest rates? Because you're concerned about inflation coming back. So if you're concerned about inflation coming back, wouldn't inflation hedges do fairly well? That's the whole theory here. So once we were at 1750, and then we went through a couple of weeks of not taking out that low, I thought that was very constructive. And while there's some resistance on GDX right around 21, I mean, it does seem like it's starting to get a bit of a tailwind. Short interest is 9.3% of the stock. So this thing has been dead in the water and people have been shorting it. And moving averages on this are well above the market. They're not, the 50 days already been blown out. The 200 day, I was looking at the volume, the 200 days at 21. So if we, like I said, you can see there's some resistance at 21 on the chart. If we can get above that, it'd be very constructive. But looking at a little longer term, if we're going to have some wage inflation, if we're going to have producer prices go up for whatever reason, maybe the tariffs, if we're going to see the Fed hiking rates because they're concerned about that stuff, you know, it feeds into the idea that the gold may go. Now, the dollar was supposed to go a little bit higher, which it's been doing. But overall, the dollar is supposed to roll over because of the high deficits we're going to be running because of the spending is obviously greater than the revenue, right? So all of that is very interesting to me. And this is an out of favor sector that seems to be getting a little bit of legs. And only time will tell. Now it has to hold these levels and start developing the 50-day to get above the 200-day. That requires a move above 21. But if we had a conversation a year from now, if inflation is going to be a problem that the Fed thinks it could be, and if the dollar rolled over a bit because of the deficits, this thing could be higher by the next 6 or 12 months.
So you're right. gold is a hedge against inflation. These are the miners, right? But I think there's something else at work here too, is they don't want to be long bonds. They're afraid that rates are going to keep coming up and bonds will keep going down, right? So bonds, which is usually the safe haven we run to in a market that is selling off or in turmoil, I think they're afraid of that here. And I think gold became that place, that's a place of safety, which normally it's not, right? Normally it's a hedge against inflation. It's a character change. Gold is going up. You know, today, obviously we, gold popped on the before the open and then we sold off a little today. But really, you have a nice flag here. You have that beautiful move up flag. I've been trading Nugget, which is a day trading vehicle through this. You have resistance right here in this area through 21. You get through here, and then I think you get that move up towards 21.39. Big buying in the January 2020 34 calls on GDX yesterday. 39,000 of them stuck to open interest. Massive buying into this. You have a potential change in character in gold and the miners. They've been beaten up forever. I agree with you. I don't want to spend too much time beating a dead horse. I like this. I like where we're going with it. Wow, that was a fast hour. Jim, why don't you take a minute, tell everybody about how they get a hold of you and what you do.
Sure. Well, again, thank you for everybody who came here today. I hope you picked up some information that could be helpful to you. Each Friday, I do a market up. Update, weekly market update with Option Professor, and there's a podcast that's available. So I certainly encourage people to check out what my views and my opinions are, which I give every Friday. And I go over everything from the stock market to interest rates and the bonds, plus gold and the dollar. And what I also do is I go over hedging, because as these markets were up at 2,900 and some of these stocks like Amazon were up at 2,050, you know, I tried to bring to people's attention that if you're in anything that's extended, it doesn't hurt you to consider either a married put or a collar position to protect your equity or to put parameters around your equity. And I cover that a little bit each and every week as well. So if you go to optionprofessor.com, you can click on the link and then you can get access to the weekly podcast, which I think add a lot of value to your investment decision making. I thank you, Mike, for moderating here. I think we did a decent job as a duo. And thanks a lot for having me here.
Jim, always a pleasure. Thanks for being on. If you want to get a hold of me, first go onto Twitter, at Options Mike. You can pick me up here. I post tons of stuff for free on there throughout the day, webinars I'm doing, places I'm going to be going, events I'm going to be doing as well. I usually do 2 to 3 webinars a month. My website, smartoptiontrading.com, brings you in here. What I specialize in, guys, is every day I do real-time option flow on my private Twitter feed. I'm live, interactive with you 3 hours a day through a chat setup and video screen sharing. I do a morning setups video every day. This gets you set up for what I'm looking at for the day, how I feel about the markets, what has my attention, what I liked. A recap video every night tells you what today's action was like, what I like moving forward, what I'm looking for going from here, and what option flow I think is swingable from here and what's the best of it. And I do a weekly mentoring webinar every Thursday night. My subscribers and I, we spend a half an hour to 45 minutes together going over questions that are just not easily answered during the middle of the day. Primarily though, off my private Twitter feed, you'll see my trades, but most importantly, you'll see the option flow. It'll give you a feel of the market, whether the market doesn't want anything, which is sometimes a telling sign because the call buying is not there, or the put buyers are coming in, you'll get an idea of momentum and what's going on. So it's been great doing this, Jim. Thanks for having me. David, we're a couple of minutes over, but the two of us, I think we got through most of the names today, and thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, great show. Got through a lot of symbols today. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past shows. Or find out more about the shows. Be sure to join us again next week for both shows. The Crowd Forecast News will be Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Analyze Your Trade. The next episode of this show will be Tuesday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can always go to timingresearch.com/live to watch the live broadcast. And just want to thank my guests again for this week. Michael Filiguera of Logical Signals was supposed to join us, but he had some technical issues, so we'll try to get him back soon. And Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com and Mike Pisani of AlphaShark.com and SmartOptionTrading.com. So thanks, guys.
Good night, guys.
Thanks, Dave.